Joy in caring. We're in Philippians, which Philippians, a book of joy, which, as I mentioned last week, Paul wrote it while in prison. Paul wrote it with a thorn in his flesh that God never removed, and yet he was joyful. And last week it was about joy in remembering what God had done. He was looking back at Philippi and the things, and we talked about the things that that God had done through Paul. And now we're going to see, and that was about finding joy in remembering, and this is about finding joy in caring. And we're going to see that there's a relationship between joy and caring that goes beyond just being concerned. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm concerned with that. I'm concerned. You know, we could say things like today in our nation, well, I'm concerned with the way the government is going. I'm concerned with the way the laws are, you know, and we're concerned, but we're really not doing anything. You know, it's like I'm concerned, but we feel helpless. But real joy comes in not just when you're concerned, but when you care, and then you actually put feet to your faith, so to speak. And that then that joy comes when God takes your service or your effort or your heart and impacts other people. And that's where joy comes in. And so this is about finding joy in actually caring it beyond being concerned. And then I've got three truths that kind of must be realized if we're to have the kind of joy that Paul had when he thought about that church in Philippi. And so we're in verses 6 through 8, and I touched on 6 last week, but this week we're going to actually kind of go through it a little bit more detail. Paul says this: I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because I have you in my heart, and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. For God is my witness how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And so we got three verses. I got three major points and a bunch of little ones, as you can see on your outlines. The first one is, in verse 6, we see the path of care. You know, there's an actual path of care. He says, I am sure of this, that he who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And he says, I'm sure of this. He started a good work in you. And the first point is basically God commenced the work. You know, it's God that cared first. You know, the Bible says that, you know, we didn't seek after him. You know, he sought after us. And then after, you know, after he got me one day, then I began to seek after him. But he made the first move. He's the one that started. He commenced it. And commenced what? What did he commence? What did he start? And it says, I am sure of this. He who started a good work in you. In you, a good work, a work of God. Look at what this scripture says in John. What can we do to perform the works of God? They asked. And Jesus replied, and you know, you want to know what the work of God is? The Bible tells us, this is the work of God. This is Jesus speaking. This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he has sent. And he started, he commenced a good work in you that you would believe in Jesus Christ and in what Jesus did on the cross for you. And that he died for your sin in your place that you could have life. You know, Easter's coming up. That's what it's all about, the resurrection. He died and he rose again in victory over sin and death, and it made a way for us, sinful man, to come into the presence of a holy God. And that's the work. That's the work of God. that you believe in the one he has sent. And so he says he started a good work in you. And what happened? There was that day in your life when God got a hold of you and you believed. And you believed in Jesus. And you believed that Jesus was the way, the truth, the life. He is the way, the truth, the life. There was that day. But that's just the start. Because you see, God continues. He continues. He says, he who started a good work in you will carry it on. Will carry it on. It speaks of faithfulness. You know, the only reason that I can be faithful is because God's faithful. He's faithful to me. And he's faithful to you. And every morning before I preach, I'm in there. You know, and everybody kind of wonders what I'm doing in there. Mostly I'm praying. And I'm asking God, God, I need you once again. Because apart from you, I can do nothing. And he is faithful. He's faithful to his spirit to dwell in me. He's faithful to fill me. He's faithful to use me. He's faithful to give me words. He's faithful every day. He's faithful. And he carries us. Because you know what? Sometimes we aren't so faithful. Sometimes we kind of get off the road a little bit. Or sometimes get off the road a lot. But he is faithful. You know, the Bible says, you know, he leaves the 99. You know, he's got 100 sheep. And 99 of them are right there where they're supposed to be. But he leaves them. And he's faithful to go find the one that's wherever. And the shepherd would pick him up, put him over his neck, holding on to those feet, and bring him back to the flock. And you know, God is faithful. Amen. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He never gives up on you. You know, you're his child, and yeah, you can, you know, as children will do, they'll do things that aren't in the will of the Father. But he's faithful, and he wants to bring you back into fellowship. You know, you never cease the relationship. The relationship is there, but sometimes the fellowship's not there because, you know, we got problems, you know. But he's always seeking that, and he's wanting to bring it back. And he is faithful. He continues it. Look at Hebrews. Hebrews says, let us run with endurance the race that lies before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the start of our faith. He finishes our faith. He's everything in between. And it says, who for what? The joy. This whole book's about joy, this book of Philippians, this series. The joy that was set before him. And, you know, and that is such a contradiction in our minds. How can you be nailed to a cross and have joy? You know? I mean, think about it. Scourged. Beaten. Put on a cross. Hanging there to die. With joy. Amen. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And to this day, he is faithfully at God's side, God the Father's side, in the throne room, and he's faithfully going to the Father on behalf of you and me. Faithfully, every day. Father, Father, I know Mike's all messed up, but he's your child. You know, I know you can't believe it, but... But he is faithful. He's faithful. He continues it. And because he's faithful to us, we can be faithful. He enables us. So God commenced it. He started it. He continues it. And you know what? God's going to complete it. God finishes. You know, sometimes I like to finish. It's kind of, my wife gets upset with me sometimes because if a movie starts, I can't go to bed till I see the end of it. I have to finish it. And it bugs me when things don't get finished. It bugs me. And sometimes you can't finish, you know, and that those are just times that I just have a hard time with. You know, you run out of daylight or you know, whatever. And I, you know, I remember, you know, working on cars in the middle of the night because I want to finish, you know, or doing whatever. I want to finish. And but God, He's the ultimate finisher. He says, He who started a good work in you will carry it on to completion until when? The day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ. You know, there's going to be a day, folks, when you're done here. And God's going to sustain you all that time. But then there's going to come that day when you're going to be before the Lord. Interesting verses right here. Because He says what? The day of Jesus Christ. When Christ comes again, you know what? The work's done. The work's done. And now we're all going to give an account. Now I'm not talking, this is not about hell. Okay? The unsaved will go before the throne and they'll be judged according to their works. And if you don't have Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will have to pay the price for your sin yourself. But the good news, the gospel, the good news is you don't have to pay that price. Jesus paid it for you. You place your faith and trust in Him, and He's paid the price for you. And now when the end comes, you don't go before the judgment throne. You go before the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to, you're still going to be accountable, though, for what did you do? I saved you. I empowered you. I gave you my Holy Spirit. What'd you do with it? And we're going to be before Him. And He says what? Remember this, He says, I started a good work in you. And He says what? We are God's co-workers. Once God starts that work in you, you now are a co-worker with God. And you are God's field, God's building. And this is Paul writing in Corinthians. And he says, according to God's grace that was given to me, I have laid a foundation as a skilled master builder, and another builds on it. But each one must be careful how he builds. That's the message for us, folks. A foundation has been laid. What is that foundation? It's right there. It says no one can lay any other foundation than what has been laid down, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. God put the foundation in place. And then when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we start to build a house on that foundation. Now the foundation is firm, it's sure, it's perfect. You know, you ever try to build something on a crooked foundation? It don't work. Every wall is off, every joint is off, everything is off. You know, you don't really realize how bad it is. You know, like when you're in a house and you start doing something and it's supposed to fit but it doesn't, and then you measure the wall, well, they're not square. You know? They're not square, and so it makes a lot of extra work, don't it, to make it come out right. But you know what? The foundation of Jesus Christ is sure. It is perfect. And if you build properly on it, it'll come out just fine. And no other foundation has been laid that is perfect. But it says we must be careful how we build. How are we building? What are we building on this foundation? The foundation is laid. He saved you. He forgave you of your sins. He took you out of the dirt and put you on a rock. And He empowered you. He gave you His Spirit. And He says, you know what? Serve me. And then He says, be careful, though, how you serve. That's really what that's talking about. Be careful how you build on this foundation. It says, if anybody builds on that foundation with gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, straw, each one's work will work. There it is. Each one's work will become obvious for what? The day. What day? The day of Jesus Christ will disclose it. Because we're going to stand before that seat, and all the things we did in the name of the Lord and all the things we did maybe not in the name of the Lord is going to be up there. You know, there's one verse in the Bible, or there's a lot of verses in the Bible that really bug me, but there's one that really, really kind of bugs me. The one that says you're going to be held accountable for every idle word. Yeah. Yeah, boy, huh? We're going to be held accountable for... I don't know about you, but I got a ton of idle words I'm going to be held accountable for. I mean a ton. There's a little gravity to the word, isn't there? But he says, we build on that with gold, silver, costly stone. You know what? Because the fire is going to determine whether our work was good or not so good. Whether our work was eternal or temporary. Because the gold, the silver, and the costly stones, they survive the fire. But if you build out of wood or hay or straw, nothing left. Says your work will become obvious. You know, you may be thinking, well, you know, I hope I'm doing good. I hope, you know, I'm not sure if this is. Well, you know what? One day it'll be made obvious because it'll burn or it won't burn. And in the end, what's left? That's what you did. That's what you did that had value is what is left. The work will become obvious because why? That day will disclose it. We'll see it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test the quality of each one's work. If anyone's work that he has built survives, he will receive a reward. You'll get well done, good and faithful servant. Okay? But if anyone's work is burned up, it will be lost. But he will be saved. Yet it will be like an escape through fire. So in other words, you know, if you've got the Lord, you know, if you've honestly accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, and yet you did a whole bunch of stuff that was your idea and not God's, okay? All that'll be burned, but you yourself will still be saved. You may have smoke coming off of you, but you will be saved. You know, your clothes might be a little, smells like smoke, but you'll be okay. But you know, I don't want to go before my Lord like that. I don't want to be standing there smoking. You know, I want to hear well done. I want, you know, that's what I want to hear. You know, come into the joy of your Lord. So here's the deal. Truth number one, care involves commitment. Was God committed to us? Boy, you better believe it. Sacrificing your son on the cross, that's I'd call that commitment. You think Jesus was committed? I think so. Dear brother in the back there shared with me this morning, he says, oh, you're preaching in Philippians. I go, yeah. And he goes, there's that verse, you know, where he emptied himself. And that's what I call commitment. Jesus cared for us so much, he emptied himself. And I have to stop and ask myself a question. Am I emptying myself for him? That's something to think about. Because you know what? When you care, it involves commitment. Being concerned, that doesn't entail a commitment. Oh yeah, I'm concerned about that person. I'm going to pray for them. Well, that's nice and that's good. We should. But that's not really being involved. Aren't you glad God got involved? Aren't you glad Jesus got involved? Because if he hadn't, we wouldn't be here. I mean, there'd be no point in being here if he hadn't got involved. So care involves commitment. Verse 7, we see the purpose of care. We had the path of care, but now we see the purpose of care. He says, it is right for me to think this way about all of you because I have you in my heart and you are all partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and establishment of the gospel. So first of all, the purpose of care starts in the heart. You know, in order to really care about something or someone, you got to have a heart for that, whatever it might be. You know, when your heart's not in something, it's hard to really do well. I mean, it's really hard to give your all when your heart's really not in it. I don't know, when you're on the job and they give you some kind of job that you don't really want to do, and it's really hard to excel. You know, when you're like, wow, I don't really care whether that thing gets done or not, you know. But I'm going to do it because they told me to. But if you really care, you're going to have a heart for that person, for that cause, for that whatever thing that's going on. You're going to have a heart for it. And it starts in the heart. That's where purpose starts, is in the heart. All of a sudden there's something going on in your life and you get through it. I mean, so many ministries are started because somebody goes through something and they have a heart for it, and now they want to create an organization, or they want to create some sort of a network or whatever to help people that are going through that same thing. And so, you know, a lot of divorce care groups start because someone got divorced and it really hurt them. You know, and so they start a group because they have a heart for it. There's like the Rose of Sharon, you know, pregnancy crisis centers started out. Many people that run pregnancy crisis centers have had abortions. And things happened, and they realize, wow, you know, I wished I hadn't have done that. And so they get a heart for helping people make good decisions in that area. And they want to help these girls. You know, so many things happen in ministry. God uses our heart. You know, we have a heart for that. And it starts there, but it's sustained in humility. It's sustained in humility. Because, you know, when pride happens, you know, what happens? God resists the proud, right? So when you get prideful, you're not going to have God's help. And it's probably not going to last. But when you're humble, things get sustained. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He will lift you up. And he says, it is right for me to think about all of you in this way because I have you in my heart. And he says, and you are all partners with me in grace. Grace. And then he says, the first part, both in my imprisonment and in defense and establishment of the gospel. But he's in prison right now. That's pretty humble circumstances. He was willing to go to prison for the gospel. And he says, but you are partners with me in grace and in my imprisonment. And you know, grace is getting something you don't deserve. Now, I've met people, you know, I remember working with people. I used to work for Sears, and I remember this one guy, I mean, he thought he was God's gift to Sears. I'm not kidding you. Thought he was. I mean, I think he literally believed if he didn't work there, Sears would go under. Now, Sears is going under, but it's not because he left. But I mean, this guy, I mean, he really thought our service department hinged on his ability or something. And I just laughed because I was going behind him a lot fixing up his mess. It was incredible. And I'm thinking, how can you even think you're good? You know? I mean, none of us were perfect. I mean, there is not a person out there that didn't make a mistake doing stuff. But grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's recognizing, you know what? I deserve hell. But by God's grace, I get heaven. And by God's, yeah. And I got no abilities. You know, my abilities are very small. But with God working in me, all things are possible. Amen. You know? It's humility. It's acknowledging that if any good thing gets done out of this vessel, it's because God did it. And God enabled it, and God empowered it, and God provided for it. I mean, and I'm not talking about a false humility. I'm just saying, just being real. Just saying, you know what? Apart from you, I can do nothing, literally. And when we care in that manner, you know, sometimes people care out of like, wow, you poor thing. I'm glad, you know, kind of like the Pharisees when they saw the widow give the money, or no, it was the tax collector giving the money. Oh God, you know, oh God, I'm glad I am not like that tax collector. Really? And Jesus says you're actually worse off than the tax collector. The tax collector was the one that walked away justified. The Pharisee was still lost in his sin. No, when you care about somebody, you're not elevating yourself. You're just saying, you know what? Man, I see pain here. I see a need, and I just want this person to rise. I just want to, maybe God wants to do something in this person, and maybe God will help use me to help him in some way. And you just have a heart. And you care. And you're humble. Because, you know, the Bible says in another place, it says, you know, except for the grace of God, I might go there too. Be careful. Take heed lest you fall. Right? We can get all involved in helping people and then fall in the same trap they were in. Take heed lest ye fall. So we got to be humble. And you seek the harvest. He says, you're my partners with me in grace, both in my imprisonment and what? And in the defense and establishment of the gospel. The ultimate care for someone is to care for their soul. Do you care that people are dying? Men and women, boys and girls die every day and they go to hell. Do you care? Do you care? And we would say, every Christian would say, oh, of course I care. Well, do you care enough to get involved? Caring is about the gospel. To really care is to be concerned with eternity. It's to recognize that there's a bigger picture, and it's not just about my little world that I'm in. There's a bigger picture. There's a spiritual battle taking place. And we are called to be in that battle. And it starts with caring about people that are going to be casualties in the battle if something doesn't change, if something doesn't happen. He says, you're my partner both in the defense of the gospel. Let me ask you a question. Can you defend the gospel? Are you equipped? Have you equipped yourself that when someone challenges your belief system, that you can give them an answer? If you care, you need to care enough to know what you believe and why you believe it. He says defense of the gospel and also the establishment of the gospel. In other words, get people saved. That's basically what establishing the gospel is. It's basically witnessing. It's basically sharing the gospel with people and then establishing, you know, churches and ministries and things like that where the gospel can be shared. And so the purpose of care starts in the heart. It's sustained in humility and it seeks the harvest. And the truth, first truth is, care involves commitment, but also care involves a cause. And the gospel is our great cause, folks. That's our mandate. Go into all the world, share the gospel, make disciples, and teach them what this word has to say. Amen. There's a cause. Last verse, the proof of care. We had the path of care, the purpose of care, and now we see the proof. The proof. What? How do you know I care? In other words, what's the proof? Because, you know, we all know what? Talk's cheap, right? Yeah, it's easy. We say this all the time. Well, it's easy to say. It's not so easy to do. He says, "For God is my witness, how deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus." First part is, by our accountability to God. And I know your outline doesn't say exactly that, so you can fix those words. I had another word in there and I didn't like it. And I had to change it. So, by our accountability to God. You do understand you're accountable to God, right? I mean, we all should. I mean, a Christian ought to understand that. We are going to be held accountable. And he says, "For God is my witness." You understand, before you can witness to someone else, your witness is always first to God. God already knows your heart. You know, our heart fools us. It doesn't fool God. You know, the Bible tells us our heart is deceitful. And you know as well as I do, there's been times you've been fooled by yourself. You fooled yourself. And you've probably seen people, you know, here's a person operating in a certain way, and everybody else looks at him and says, "Man, that guy's got a problem." But he thinks he's okay because he's blind to it. He's deceived. But God knows. And our first witness is to Him. He knows if we really care. He knows. God knows your heart, so your witness is always first to God. And He says, "For God is my witness." Witness to what? How much He cares. God knows if you care or not. You know, there's a lot of people in ministries that really don't care. They're just in ministry for the sake of being in ministry. We need to be in ministry because we care. Because God gifted us in a certain way, whether you're a singer or play an instrument or can speak to people or you know, dig a ditch out there on Saturday or, you know, whatever it is. Whatever it is God has enabled you to be able to do, you do it unto the Lord because you care. Accountability to God. First, God is my witness. And he says, what witness of what? How deeply I miss all of you with the affection of Christ. The proof of our care is by the affection of Christ. Listen to me. A good sentence here. When you receive the life of Christ, you get the love of Christ. When you receive the life of Christ, and that's what happens when you accept Jesus as your Savior, life comes. You were dead, folks. We were all dead. You know that movie, what's that TV show? I've never seen it. The Walking Dead or whatever, you know. There's that show. I guess it's a zombie show. I don't know what the heck that thing is, but I see the advertisements for it. But what we are is the Walking Dead. People are the Walking Dead. Until Jesus gives them life. And when you accept Christ as your Savior, you receive life. You are made alive, the Bible says. You are quickened. You are made alive. Because you were dead. And we need to understand that. When we receive the life of Christ, we get the love of Christ. Look at this verse here. That's why I had Dave read the verse. It was about the love. And here's another one. Dear friends, let us love one another. Because love is where? From God. It didn't come from you. Okay? We know how we are when we're natural, right? We're selfish, greedy. We seek our own best, so to speak. You know, let's make it work out the best for me. No. Love is from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Do you know God? I hope you do. I hope you know the Lord. And that word know, it's an intimate know. It's not like, well, I know there's a God. That's not it. Yeah, I know there's Donald Trump, okay? I know who he is. He don't know who I am. Right? But when you know God, he knows you. Remember what Jesus said? He said, depart from me, worker iniquity. I never knew you. He didn't say, you didn't know me. He didn't say that. He said, depart from me because I never knew you. But everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because why? God is love. You see, we got to have a relationship, and care involves commitment. That's one truth. Care involves a cause. That's another truth. And care involves connection, folks. First of all, you got to be connected to God, and then you connect yourself to whoever it is that you care about. You get connected with them. That's how we know that we care. We get connected with them. Paul cared greatly about all the churches he started. That's why we have all these letters. You know, he didn't write them because he didn't care. You know, when you don't care, you don't get involved. You know, when someone's making bad decisions and you don't say anything, what you're saying is, I really don't care. But when you do care about somebody, you get involved. You say, whoa, take a look at this. And Paul cared. You know, we read all of his letters, and some of them were to churches, some of them were to people. But he wrote them because he cared. And he cared greatly about all the churches he had started. But it's interesting, the church that he wrote about joy was the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi gave him great joy. The Corinthian church, my goodness, read Corinthians. Man, was that church a mess. Now, he loved them. I mean, that's why he was writing to them, you know, and visiting them and correcting them and recorrecting them and recorrecting them, you know. But it was always in turmoil, it seems. They were always going off the deep end this way and then that way. And, you know, he was always trying to bring them back. The Ephesian church, it had kind of cooled off. And he's in there encouraging them, saying, you know, you need to redeem the time, and you need to be in the Spirit, and you need to put on your armor. And then the Galatian church, it was all caught up in legalism. He's saying, what, you've gone after another gospel? But the Philippian church was on fire for the gospel. Now, they were not without fault. I mean, there was, you know, hey, there's no one here without sin, right? There's no church that's perfect. There's no, you know, church that's got it all together. Because we're all people, and we're all messed up. Okay? But they were on fire for the gospel, and their hearts were committed to the gospel. And that's what he writes about. Because of your partnership in the gospel. He says in verse 5, he says, I'm always praying with joy for you. Why? Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. It's been like 10 years. It's been 10 years since he started at church. And they're still on fire for the gospel. And that's given him joy. When we care enough to share the gospel, we will have joy. Here's one that's not on your sheet. Fulfilling joy happens when those you cared about care for others too. That's the circle. You know, what is it? 2 Timothy 2:2, I think. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard of me from many witnesses, the same commit to others who will be able to teach others also. See, it's not about just sharing the gospel and they say a prayer and you're done with them. It's about sharing the gospel and they get saved and now you start teaching them and then they share the gospel. And when you find out that, you know, it's kind of like being a grandparent. You know, when you have a child, now it's really cool. Wow, I got this baby, and then you raise these kids, and they exasperate you, and they test you, and they push you, and they can delight you, and you know, in different things. But when they start having kids, that's when it's cool. You know, it's, my kids say, "You didn't come over to see us; you came over to see your grandkids." You know? Well, yeah. All the fun, this is my motto, all the fun, none of the responsibility. You know, when you're raising the kids, you're directly responsible. With the grandkids, you fire them up and send them home. You know? So, and I got grandkids and kids here today, so what can I say? But anyway, you know, feed them sugar, send them home. That's my motto. But anyway, that's when you have joy in your kids. You certainly do. But boy, when they start having kids, it's like, wow. Amen. You know? Yeah, let's see, all the grandparents understand this. Yeah. So all that to say, it's the same in the spiritual realm, folks. You know, when you work with someone and then they start working with others, that's joy, because you know what? You're feeling like, wow, God, you really did use me in that guy's life, and now he's really, now you're using him or her. And that's a different kind of joy, because it's carrying on. It's carrying on. And that's why I'm having that class. You know, it's not just an evangelism class. It's a great commission class. It's about, yeah, I want you to get comfortable sharing the gospel. I want you to be equipped. I want you to you know, be able to answer some questions that you might get hit with and all that. But I also want you, part of that class is going to be about the importance of prayer. And part of that class is going to be about the importance of getting involved and discipling them. Because that's where the real joy goes. That's where it's at. And you pour a little bit of your life into somebody, and then they start doing it to someone else, and you're like, wow. And you become like a grandparent in the Lord. You know, it's not really, you know, not a physical child, but it's a spiritual thing. You know, they're your spiritual, you lead someone to the Lord, that's your spiritual child in a sense. And then when they grow and mature to the place where they can lead someone to the Lord, now you got spiritual grandchildren. And that's where the real joy's at. Doesn't just stop with you. It's to go forward. Do you care? Do you really care? Biblical caring, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Have you acted upon the gospel? So there might be someone here today, you know, you can't really care for anyone in that manner. Why? Because you have never got connected with the living God. You don't know him. He doesn't know you in that way. Oh, he knows who you are. I mean, he's God. He knows you exist. He knows your name. He knows what you've been through. But he doesn't know you as a son or a daughter, unless you've humbled yourself and admitted you're a sinner and you've asked him to forgive you and you've trusted in Jesus Christ that he paid the price for your sin. That's where it's at. That's where it starts. Remember that first one? God commences it, right? How? You finally got through your head and you accepted Christ as your Savior. Total work of God. And there may be someone here today, you have never done that. You may have never done that. where you're going to have an opportunity to make that right. If God has pricked your heart, I hope you will act upon what God has done or is doing in you right now. Because there is a judgment, as I talked about. And the Bible says, I mean, you may be adamant. You may be saying, well, I don't really need it. But, you know, the Bible says, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee will bow. I'd rather bow now than then. I'd rather bow now because I want to than then because I have to. And then I get judged. I'm not trying to scare you into being a Christian. I'm just trying to give you information. I want you to understand what the truth is. And then you ponder that, and then you act upon it. For the rest of us, are we willing to be committed? Are we willing to share? Are we willing to care? Are we willing to commit to maybe have to pour our life into someone in some way? Are you willing to do that? You know, it costs you time, costs you energy, but it's worth it. It's worth it. You know, and I've dealt with many over the years, and some of them didn't work out. And, you know, and I'm sorry about that. But you know what? Some did work out. No, that's the ones you're there for. Because everybody's making a choice. The ones that I worked with, they made a choice. I can't make the choice for them. Some of them listened to truth. And I'm not saying I was the great teacher. I'm just saying I give them truth. And then, you know what? Just like every Sunday, I try to give you truth. And then it's up to you whether you act upon that truth or not. I can't control that. But the ones that do, that gives you great joy. Gives you great peace. And if you've never experienced that, you're missing out. God wants you to. And that's why I'm doing the class. Because I want you to do it. I want you to experience what I've experienced. There's nothing better. Yeah, except maybe having grandchildren. That might be better. But ponder what God has done for you. And then think about what He would have you do for others in that same regard. He cared for you, so we need to, He cared for me, so I need to care for you, and you need to care for, whoever God's puts in your life. If you can have every head bowed, every eye closed, I'd give you an opportunity to respond to the message. Is there anybody here who would say, Brother Mike, I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I can't really truly love and care for someone because, you know what, I have never received that love and care yet. Is there anybody like that? I've never done it. And through the Word, today the Holy Spirit is pricking me. And I need to make something right with God. Is there anybody like that? Would you slip your hand up? I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to talk about you later. I'm just going to pray. I might talk about you to God. That'll be it. For the rest of us, how many would say, I need to be more committed in this area? Anybody like that? I need to be more committed in this area. Amen. God bless you. How many would say, I need to become bolder in sharing what God has done in my life with others? Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. Need to be bolder. Heavenly Father, Lord God, help us. Help us to share with others what You have done in us. That we would be that good and profitable servant for You, Lord. That You have imparted great truths in our life and done great things in our lives. And Lord, You didn't do that so that we could keep it all to ourselves. You did it so we could share, that we'd have a testimony, Lord, of your power. And so, Lord, I pray that we would all seek your face and ask you to work a mighty work in our hearts, Lord, that we would become more like Jesus in this area. To your glory, we pray these things. Amen. This is your time. If God has pricked your heart, you act upon what God has done. You seek his face regarding what he has showed you. This is your time. Take advantage of it. Father, we come before you thankful, Lord, that you cared enough to send your Son for us. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that we would recognize that you're not done with us, Lord. You didn't just save us to leave us here, Lord, and just go our own way, but you had a purpose, you had a plan, you had a thing in mind, Lord, that we would go and share with others what you have done with us. And Father, help us to have that concern, that commitment, that we would recognize that there is a cause, Lord, that we're connected with you, and then because of that connection, Lord, there is power available to share your word, to share your truth, to give people that which they need, Lord, out of your word. And Father, I pray that you would do this in a mighty way. Impact our lives, Lord, that we may impact others for Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.